You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tech Trend Investments, Tuesday, 6 p.m. This is Elizabeth Powell.
This is Joseph Grassa.
Hi, y'all.
Hope everybody has had an amazing week.
Or two, actually.
Yeah, we weren't here last week. There was a lot going on. A little bit of a replay, but it's okay. We're here now. We're back.
A lot of stuff has been going on the last 2 weeks, too, so it's been fun. Last week, I came back from the Caribbean. I was in South Beach. And then this week, I'm out at Cape Canaveral for the launch. There's a big launch going on, Polaris Dawn from SpaceX. It's the civilians are going back up into space where they, I think the last time that they were up was with the Challenger, but they're going back up into space. It's been delayed 5 times. It was delayed last night. And then now it's supposed to launch. If anybody wants to go onto NASA or go onto SpaceX, you can watch the launch live. It's 3:38 a.m. between 3:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. You can watch the launch live on YouTube, on NASA, on SpaceX, and then see history in the making. But I'm out here live to watch it.
Of course, you're out there live to watch it. You're big with the space launches, and you've seen a lot of them up to this point, right?
Yeah, I saw Dragon when they put the astronauts back into space out of the U.S. because we hadn't launched, and I guess in about 20 years, I think it was the last time the U.S. launched. That was in 2020, I think, 2021. So, yeah, it came out here.
Moment. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was another historical moment because the last time they were up in space from U.S. soil was about 20 years ago. But now they've been
doing 20 years prior to that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know anything else beyond that, but I know it was 20 years on the first one that came out of U.S. soil again. So, yeah, so you all can go on to NASA, go on to NASA.gov or go on to SpaceX or go into YouTube and just do a search. And they show the launches live, so it's fun to watch it live. You can see the countdown, see everything that's going on behind the scenes, watch it launch live and then see it go into space, too. If people are out in Florida, you can see it in the sky. Like I'm close to, normally when I'm in California, I'm close to Vandenberg, so you can usually see up in the sky. Out in Florida, too, you can see it up in the sky. So it's amazing. It's a big rocket, too, so you'll be able to see it. But it's beautiful. It's something to watch. It's fun.
It's something that I've never experienced, and I really want to one day. I'm kind of curious to see, like, or to like know what it feels like, because I know you can get pretty close to it. Like from your videos, you can get very close to it without, I guess, being in like a harmful range. But I'm just like, is there like, I don't know, like some kind of a radius where you just feel like an after effects or like a, like,
well, make, they like, keep you wind. Yeah, they keep you at a safe distance away. You can hear the rockets rumble. You can see them take off and watch them through the sky. You can, I believe we hear the sonic boom. I've watched so many of them, I'm forgetting. you can hear it break the barrier. And then the great thing about SpaceX is watching the rocket come back down and land. That's like amazing. Like it comes back, it shoots off, and then it breaks off, and then it comes back down and lands. So I've been watching a lot of the satellite launches. And when they break off, it comes back, and it's like it lands exactly on the launch pad. It's like amazing. It's beautiful. Watching it go up and then come back down. So yeah.
And I have the link. If anyone wants to go, it's polarisprogram.com/dawn if you wanted to go look at the mission details.
Yeah, you can go get information about the mission, but it's gonna be tonight, August 28th at 3:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think it has a window until 7 a.m. and then about an hour or two before they'll say if it's a go or not. They scrubbed it last night, and so they rescheduled it for tonight. But they have scrubbed it 5 times, so it may be postponed again. But if you're in California or on West Coast and it's only at 12:38, it's not too, too bad. It may be
3:30 a.m.
East Coast, yeah, 3:38 a.m. But, yeah, there's 4 astronauts going up into space, so it's pretty it's pretty amazing. It's pretty fun to watch. And you can watch it on NASA. You can watch it on SpaceX. You can watch it on YouTube. And they'll shoot it live, so you can watch it live too. But it's pretty amazing. It's fun to watch. I'm amazed every single time I watch it. Like, it's exciting every single time. I'm a big nerd.
It's adrenaline. You know what? It's something to get excited about. It's a step forward for, I guess, everybody. It's not like, oh, one person is doing something that stands out. It's a big step for all of humanity to send civilians to space, especially this mission. That's a big step.
So I don't know if it's my Wi-Fi or your Wi-Fi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
We're both traveling, kind of.
Kind of, not really.
I'm in Florida. Yeah, you're echoing a little, so I don't know if it's me. So we've had a couple, besides that, Web3 and crypto has some exciting things going on, which, remember, whenever there's news that comes out in the market, if it affects the market will fluctuate. And then we also have a lot of new people in Web3, a lot of new people investing in crypto, so it's affecting the market. And people get emotional if they don't see cycles happening. There was a big sell-off, but then we had a rally the last week, actually. We had a pullback, and then we were hovering around 2750 to 2800 on ETH. And then today there was an event where there was a big sell-off, and then it affected the market. And, of course, when people see something like that happen, they get emotional, and then they sell off at the bottom, right? But if you just hold off a little bit and wait for the bounce, we had a bounce back up. Not a big one, but we're hovering around 2450 right now.
Exactly, and these bounces, they're just healthy. They're healthy. They're healthy. I'm still cutting. Oh no! Oh no!
I don't know if it's me and my Wi-Fi, or me traveling, but you're echoing.
Okay, I just got word. We sound fine. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, great.
just had to make sure.
It's mine.
No, all good. It happens with
traveling.
Send
Morse code and then I'll read what you said. No, just kidding.
Click, 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 click.
The joy part, so this has been fun too, right? So we've been doing a lot of spaces and AMAs and VCs. And always in the beginning, we always have that fun thing with tech, right? In the last couple of weeks.
Exactly. There's been a few issues that I think everyone started to pick up on with a lot of, I guess, voice recording and spaces in general, like just anything to do with sharing the word or any kind of media production. There's been a few hitches, and I'm just going to go off on a limb and say it's just technology being technology and always having a few bugs here and there. But it always ends up working in the end. So every issue comes with it always works out at the end. And tech is tech, so we're good.
Okay. Always the beginning, right? Always the beginning. We have these little tech fun things. So what else were we going to say? Oh, so Web3, we have some exciting things going on.
So in Web3, before we jump into Web3, we could talk about a big event that's affected a lot of Web3, and that is the Telegram founder being arrested in France.
Yes, that's big news in the market. The good thing is we have other sources other than Telegram, so we're heavily on Telegram to communicate with holders and different people on what's going on in the market. But we also have other sources and other platforms to use. So we have Twitter, where we can use spaces, or we can go into group chats and talk to people. We also have Discord, where we can go and talk to people. And then our bots are in Discord, and then they're also on Telegram.
And they're also web compatible as well.
Right, and we have UI interface with web, but all of the data, now we're up to like 85 million points of data. All of our data is stored in the cloud, and it's just sent as information into like Telegram, or it's sent as information into Discord or to wherever we send the information, but we're not necessarily dependent on Telegram. We have all of our data and all of our information is stored in the cloud and encrypted. And so then Telegram's just like a source of communication. So if anything like ever happened with Telegram, if there was a pause, all of our data is safe. All of our information is safe. It's all stored in the cloud and it just gets broadcast or the information is sent as like a message into Telegram, but our data is not stored there.
Exactly.
So we're good.
We're safe. Well, you have planned for every worst case possible scenario that could possibly happen and made sure that nothing can affect us.
Right. Right. I mean, we have a lot of data. So we've been accumulating data for over 18 months. And then based off of the data that's accumulated, we're able to do predictive modeling off of it and then combine it with AI, again, to determine like what's the lowest entry to get into, what's the best point to get out based off of backtest and historicals. But all of our data, like we're referring to AI Signal and AI Base and some of the other technology that's been built. And then all of the other AI technology is all stored up on the cloud. And I have multiple servers. I have about 10 different servers. So we have different backup servers too and APIs and nodes and all that fun stuff. But everything's stored separately. But where it gets broadcast to is just a platform. It's just information that gets sent out. But the data is stored encrypted so nobody can access it and it's stored in the cloud so it's safe, which is good.
That's extremely good, and it's just, and once again, a testament to your understanding of the markets and understanding of all everything that could possibly happen. You got to prepare for everything, right? If you're not over prepared, yeah, you're under prepared.
Right. But the fun thing too is that, so we've been going into the different platforms and talking to people lately too. We've been in Web3 like for over 4 years, and again, like crypto since 2016. So we've seen all the different cycles that happen and understand how people trade and how emotion comes into effect. And if people aren't talking about something, then people think that it's no longer viable, that it's not live. But if you're in the heart of things and you see all the activity and you see everything that's going on, like we see a lot of movement in the market. We see a lot of activity in the market. But if nobody's telling other people about it, then they think that the market has gone quiet, right? The way that people learn and the way people know what's going on, like if you're looking into stocks, bonds, options, and futures, or you're looking into mortgages, or you're looking on the T-bonds or anything that's going on, if you're not seeing data come over and you don't know what's going on in the market, then you'll think that the market's quiet. But if you're around a lot of people, around a lot of information, and people are telling you what's going on, and you're seeing like stock prices and tickers and charts, and you're watching what's going on, you know that the market is active. Well, what's been happening a lot lately in Web3 is the Web3 has kind of gone a little bit quiet because people aren't in the heart of it. They're not in the source of it. So what we've been doing lately is trying to bring information into other platforms again, like back into Twitter, back into Discord. We're still on Telegram, but other sources so that people know what's going on to the market and then get it active again, like NFTs and tokens and crypto and ETH. And we're on different platforms now too. So we're on Twitter, we're on the web, we're on Discord, on Telegram. So now we're on SoundCloud, YouTube, and Spotify also, Reddit, and then soon TikTok. Getting the information. Yeah, we're getting the information out so that everybody knows what's going on. Because if you have sources and you're educated, you can understand the market better. And we have training videos teaching people how to trade, how to read charts if you want to do that. We have audio that, excuse me, there was my voice again. We have audio that explains things. So if you want to just listen while you're driving in the car, you want to listen to audio and understand things a little bit better. Every single time you're going to listen to something, you're going to catch something new. So audio, video, podcasts, VCs, spaces, Twitter, so that people can be educated, people can know what's going on. And we've been giving market updates a couple times a week, too, in our spaces. So if you come onto our Twitter, you can listen to our, the market updates on what's going on in the market. We'll do like a 15-minute fun thing on Spaces, which is on Twitter, and talk about the market and talk about what's going on that week.
Exactly. And that's just it's the overview. It's nothing in depth. It's something quick just to keep everybody informed, make sure everybody knows stuff, because people make rash decisions and wrong decisions when they lack information. And as of recently, a lot of information has been cut off. Did a few events within cryptocurrencies that have caused people to stop putting out valuable information to the people in their communities or to people in general. And the spread of this information is extremely valuable and extremely needed. And when you're trying to make a very logical and educated decision of what you're going to do next. So like even just with these recent dips, a lot of people get scared because there's not a lot of information going around.
Right. And it can be sometimes biased based off of what somebody wants you to do in that market, right? If they want you to buy their product, it's just like somebody who's going to go sell a shovel. They're going to pitch their shovel as the best shovel in the whole entire world. And then you want to get information about the shovel and then find out about it and decide if you want to buy that shovel or another shovel. So there's a lot of that going on in crypto and in tokens and in NFTs, and everybody wants everybody to go into their product, right? And if you know what's going on and you know what to look for, you're able to make a better decision and a better investment that way.
Exactly. And like, we'll touch on that NFT thing right now too. I believe it was last week or the week before, you said specifically in a few groups that you wanted to bring NFTs back. And for those of you who don't know what NFTs are, NFTs are non-fungible tokens. It's a pretty stigmatic term that was generalized back in like 2020, 2019 for gated access into communities. And these tokens were running super, super hard, and it was super fun back then, back in 2019, 2020, 2021, when everything was hot. Everybody was super excited and pumped. People were calling it the crypto summer. It's when ETH hit its all-time high and Bitcoin hit Bitcoin almost reached its ATH. It might have. And a lot of people were super excited because there's a lot of information going around. And I believe Elizabeth I believe last week or the week before started saying, we're going to bring NFTs back. We're going to make it fun again. And ever since then, we have seen a lot of people and a lot of just off of one comment, one message to a few people, key individuals in the space, a lot of conversations have been going around that NFTs are going to come back. And it all starts with one person, right? And Elizabeth always being the person to be one step ahead of everybody. Is that person. She's the person to listen to. Not trying to toot your horn or anything, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's fun. So I used to call, I was a caller analyst for NFTs and tokens and for crypto and stuff. So I was involved in a lot of groups, and I would find an asset, which is like an NFT or crypto, that I thought had value and had a potential to increase in value. And so I was a caller analyst who looked at the market, looked what was going on, looked at the volume and then the potential. And I would call it. And if I called it, say, at $3 and it went to $500, that was the goal for people to make money. But I've noticed a lot lately, like shifted over when meme tokens had come onto the market, when Pepe came onto the market, everybody went from NFTs and they moved over into crypto. So they moved over into altcoins and then into meme coins, because meme coins has a faster, quicker return, where if you enter with a $10 trade at like a 5,000 market cap, and then it goes to 500,000 on the market cap, you're exponentially making a lot more money than on getting into it at a lower price and then exiting at a higher price, because they go a lot faster and they go at a higher value quicker. And you're not just buying one asset, you're buying a percentage of the total token supply. And so you're able to get in and get out off of that. So a lot of people have moved over onto meme coins, into tokens, into altcoins, and they had started to shy away from NFTs because it was easier to enter. There was a lot more available. We have about 100 tokens just going every single day still, and it was easier to get into it. It's just trying to find the nuances on how to enter and how to trade, because it's a lot more chart orientated and volume orientated, where if there's volume in the market, then it will go a lot better than if there's no volume in the market. Like, we're in a slow spot right now, and the first money comes back into the market, and so we'll have high volume again, and then tokens will be running again. But a lot of people had moved away from NFTs. And so the value of the NFTs, it kind of like made Web3 go a little quiet. There weren't callers on NFTs anymore. There weren't people pushing NFTs as much anymore. The original NFTs that were popular kind of still were around, and people still use them as their profile pictures, but people weren't trading them as actively. Every now and then they would have a run, but there wasn't really anybody out there to push it. There were no callers or analysts pushing NFTs. Everybody had kind of moved over to tokens. And so it doesn't take that much. It just takes some energy going back into it. And a lot of people are still holding these NFTs. They didn't sell, so they still have value. But I was thinking, you know, that's where we were last May. So it's been over 18 months, and that's when we moved over to tokens and we moved over to AI Signal and the platforms that trade and teach people how to trade on tokens and then on ETH and on Base. And so originally we had built it out where we were doing it for NFTs. And so if we bring back NFTs to life and people start to trade, it's fun because they're trading profile pictures, they're trading cartoons, they're trading memes, they're trading things that you can have a discussion with and talk about and share and post, because it's art, it's digital art basically, but it's attached as like its own token. So there's a lot of value in there, but I think that if we bring it back and we start calling them, people can get into that and have fun and trade tokens and also trade NFTs again.
I think that sums it up, and I just get so nostalgic every time we talk about it. Just go thinking back to the days where you're sitting in a call. So, wait, what happened? Can you hear me?
So I'm going to teach people how to trade an NFT. So as we said, the NFT is, it'll have a collection. Sometimes it has a collection of 100 to about, say, 10,000. And then when you go into an NFT, when they release it and it's called mint. So say a new collection comes out and there's 10,000 in the collection. When it first releases, it's called a mint. And a mint and a mint is like how you buy the NFT. So a collection will come out. And so say there's 10,000 different variations of a dog. And so what an NFT looks like is it'll take the face of like a dog with a hat or with glasses or a scarf or different clothing, and it'll have 10,000 different variations of that dog. And it ranges from things called a floor price all the way up to rares. Rares are if you only have glasses on two of the dogs out of 10,000, that picture, that profile picture becomes rare because there's only two out of 10,000 have that unique identifier. So it adds value to that. And then if you're buying one that has the one that all of them, say all the dogs are, most of the dogs are red. And if you have a red dog and there's 7,000 out of 10,000 of the dogs are red, it's not rare because it's not unique. There's a lot of them. So that's the way to identify like what an NFT is on the value of it. And you can go on to OpenSea, you can go on to Blur, you can go on to Magic Eden, you can go on to different things and buy different NFTs that are already existing. Or NFTs that you mint is a brand new collection that you're going to buy, and you'll buy it, say, at like $20. And the goal is like you buy it, it becomes an art piece, it has value, And if it's popular and everybody else wants it, it causes the price to go up. And the more people that buy, it creates a higher demand. And if there's a lower supply, so say there's only 100 in the collection, that means that there's a higher demand and a lower supply, so it creates the value to go up. If you have 10,000 in the collection, you have a lot in the collection, so there's more supply, and so the value isn't as high because you have a lot of variations that you can buy from.
Ace, Elizabeth, can you hear me? I just attached, please. Okay, well, in terms of NFTs, yeah, there's a lot of ways you can go about trading them. You can purely go in for value. I know a lot of people in this space and in crypto that purely trade NFTs strictly for the access that you can get from them, because a lot of them drive a lot of value. And if you're buying into them strictly for that reason, there's a lot of options. And there's no need to buy and sell them or to flip them. That's purely just one way to trade it. And if you believe that that's the way you want to do it, then so be it. There's a lot of ways to go about it. There's a lot of platforms that have been released that you can trade from. But primarily the main use case for them at the start was art and the digitalization of art. So that art could be transferred from a consumer to consumer, collector to collector with ease. And that became into gated access for communities, gated access for alpha, for callers, alpha being information that users or people may have found or know of that they are sharing with a community of people, and they token gate that. And that meaning like you having access to like a concert, for example, you have the ticket to get into that concert, but if you don't have the ticket, then you can't go. And that's also another thing that crypto has done. And it's created these gateways for people to digitalize access and NFTs in specific, but it's also making its way into tokens. And with the innovation in the first token that launched that really brought people over being Pepe, I think most people, if not everybody, have heard of Pepe at this point, that the infamous frog that has been going around everywhere through, whether it be through memes or through social media, the infamous Pepe started that whole run of meme coins, which is when everybody started shifting.
From I'm here.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
The joys of traveling.
Oh my gosh.
They're probably getting ready for the launch and utilizing all the Wi-Fi around here.
Well, at least you can hear me now, which is, it's like yes. We said at the start, it's tech perfect. And it gets buggy sometimes. It gets buggy. I was like, wait, you can't hear me? And then, oh, you can't hear me. Okay, you gotta keep going.
It's just funny. But I can hear you really well now. So hi, y'all. We're back.
That's funny. I was just touching on tokenization. And you don't have to, and for NFTs, the primary use case being art, right? At the start, right. It was art and digitalization of art for collectors and for consumers of art. And then right. Moving into and gated memes. Token access and memes, of course, always memes and gated memes. Token access, which evolved into like tickets and so on and so forth, and to getting into alpha and communities and to finding out early information or right. Information that other people don't have. So, for example, like the token gated to get into those servers where you were calling those plays, right? When you were a caller, that's information that nobody else has unless they hold that NFT to get that token gated access.
Right.
So it was the evolution, which is now, and like I was saying, is evolved into tokens as well, with the token gated access, which we have implemented at AISIG to get access to the bots.
Right. If they're holding so many tokens and they get access to the trading bots.
Exactly. So it's evolved, and it's not strictly for NFTs or for token gated access. And the blockchain is, you don't have to be a consistent trader. You don't have to be. And it's obviously, it's not financial advice. Always do your own research. Nothing we say is financial advice, educational purposes only. I love saying that, but it's just stamped everywhere at this point. Disclaimer, 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 disclaimer. But it's really become a very diverse place. And it all stemmed off of NFTs, right? And altcoins. Right. I think altcoins at the start, the first altcoin run was what, 2018, 2017?
Yeah. So like Doge and Shiba were altcoins.
Yeah, exactly. And those were the start of the quote unquote meme coins that really kicked off in, was it 2021, 2020 with Pepe? When was Pepe?
Well,
oh my God, I'm so lost.
So people were trading, yeah, people were trading meme coins. It's just the NFT community wasn't aware of it until Pepe came out, and then they brought it over to the NFT community, and then they started trading. But people were already trading meme coins before that for a couple of years or so. So it was April 2020, it was last year, 2023 on Pepe. But people were trading them. Meme coins is just, people were into crypto and they were doing altcoins, and the meme coins have been around for a while. But if you're in the NFT community, a lot of people in the NFT community didn't know about meme coins until April of last year when Pepe first came out. And then it's kind of spread like wildfire, and then people wanted to learn more, and then they wanted to trade that too. But a lot of people that were in NFTs weren't like quote unquote official traders. So they were coming in and they were learning how to trade. They were learning how to get an asset at a low value and then sell it off at a higher value and use it as a way for financial gains.
A way.
Right.
But it was a means. It was a means to an end.
Right. But a lot of people didn't come from a trading background. They didn't come from a finance or stocks background. So they didn't know how to read charts. They weren't day traders. And then meme coins came out, and then they wanted to learn a little bit more, just like what we're talking to everybody about now, is like learning more how to do it. And there's a lot of nuances in it. So you always look for a low market cap. You look for a token that's safe. A safe token means it's a verified contract. The smart contract's verified that it's locked. So that means that on the liquid that they have in the token, they can't pull the liquid out, or it's burned, which means they can't touch the liquid. That the taxes are lower. So like 5-5 taxes are lower are good. If you have 100% sales tax, means you can't sell your token. So you don't want to enter into that. And then also you want to make sure that the percentage of the holders isn't top heavy or it's not clogged. So it doesn't have like one person doesn't own 25% of the token, because if they sell it off, the value of the token goes down. Just like when you sell, you know, you have a fire sale on anything, it's going to make the value go down, depreciate. So those are the things that you look for on tokens. But when people have gone from NFTs and going into tokens, tokens have different parameters and different guidelines on entering and exiting out, where NFTs, say there's 10,000 in the collection and you buy it for $3 and you hope it goes up to 50. If there's a lot of people that have like 1,000 of that 10,000 and they decide to sell them all off, the value is going to go down. But if there's only like 100 in the collection, and so say there's only 100 and everybody only owns one, and everybody wants that NFT, the value is going to go up because there's a low supply and a high demand, just like anything in the world. If you're going to buy something, like you're buying something precious or you're buying an asset or you're buying houses and the supply is low, there's only like two houses for sale, the value, they can raise the price on the house because everybody wants that house. So it's the same thing with assets, like any type of asset on stocks or futures or options. Whenever the supply is lower and the demand is higher, it causes the price to go up. So that works with NFTs too. But there's things to look for on NFTs, and we hadn't touched on that yet, because a lot of people, we haven't talked about NFTs on here, and that's kind of where we came from, you know, 3 years ago. And then NFTs are starting to get interest again. We're talking about it again and probably been calling some again. But when you're looking for an NFT, you want to look for rares, which means, again, if there's 10,000 in the collection and only two of the NFTs have sunglasses, that makes it rare because two out of 10,000 has a unique trait, they're called. So it has a unique trait, so it makes the value rare. And then if there's 10,000 of them and you bought it for $3, and everybody's buying them and selling them, and it's staying or hovering around $3 or $4, that's probably what the price you're going to get. But if there's only 100 in the collection and you bought it for $3 and there's only 100 people who have access, but 2,000 people want to buy it, it's going to cause the price to go up because everybody wants that 100. There's 1,000 people who want only 100 of the supply. And so if it starts out at like $2 or $3, there's things called floors. So the floor is the lowest price. And then the highest price is usually the most rare of the collection. So the one that only has one of it, like it's gold or it has a crown or it has something special that none of the others have. And those are considered rare and they go for a higher price. So say like you go into a department store and you see a pair of shorts and there's thousands of shorts of the same exact pair of shorts and they're all blue. The price of those shorts are probably going to be cheaper than if you there's one pair of short that's gold and there's only one gold available. Shorts. It's going to be, I'm going to like kind of referencing on NFTs. So there's only one gold one and everybody wants that gold shorts. Then that pair of shorts is going to be the most expensive one because there's only one, but there's like thousands of blue shorts. So they're all going to be the same price. So it's the same thing with an NFT. So an NFT will have like 1,000 of them or whatever size the collection is. The collection can be from 100 to 10,000. And so if you have 10,000 of them, but only one of them is gold, that becomes a very rare NFT and everybody wants that rare one. So the price goes up because it's a high demand and there's a low supply. There's only one that exists and it's called rare. So that's kind of like a brief overview of an NFT on what you do when you buy and sell NFTs. And then the floor is the lowest price of the collection. So if there's 1,000 in the collection, the lowest price, the one that's the cheapest that you can buy is called a floor. So say the lowest price one is $5. And the highest price one is $10,000. You can buy anywhere in between on that range. And based on demand and how rare your NFT is the value of how much it'll go up. And if you have a lot of volume, which means a lot of people are buying it, a lot of people want it, it's going to make the value go up. If you have a rare, which means you only own, there's only one available out of 1,000 of them, it's the most sought after one, it's the most special one, that value will go up. If you get one that's closest to the floor, but there's, you know, all 1,000 look the same, and then that one looks like all the other ones, then the value is down because they can pick and choose from all the other ones too, because yours is pretty much the same. So it's considered like a floor price one.
Exactly. And then you went and, like you said, buy the rarest one closest to the floor. So that's the highest rarity. And a lot of these platforms now, they'll tell you the rarity of the NFT while you're looking for one, right? So you can go on there and it'll tell you, oh, it's rank 500 out of 1,000. So, and you can go by off percentages as well. So looking for like top 10% rarity, top 1% rarity, or you can just go generalize top 100, which is everything. And you want to look for the lowest possible rarity one, so the highest rarity, so the lowest percent that there's anything similar to it in the collection, at the cheapest price. And those will get you the most value if the value of the NFT goes up, because you're able to sell those quicker, easier, and there's more demand for them.
Right. So you always look for the rarest NFT, the rarest piece of art, closest to the floor price. So if there's 1,000 of them and there's only two available out of that 1,000, it makes it very rare. So you want to find it closest to the floor price. So if the floor price is $5 and the highest is 10 grand, you want to find it closest to the $5 because you're basically buying it at a discount, right? The idea is just like you buy any type of asset or any type of commodity or valuable, you always want to have an arbitrage where you find it a spread on the lowest price to how much it can sell for, which is the spread, the difference between what you buy it for at a discount, like you're buying wholesale almost, and then you're selling it for retail, like if you know businesses. So wholesale and retail, wholesale is the discounted price, retail is the full price value. Same thing with an NFT. If you're getting it closer to the floor, which means it's the lowest price, but it's the most rare of the NFTs, you now can make money on the difference. You can make money on the spread. You can make money on the arbitrage from the lowest price to how much you can actually sell it for. So say you bought it and somebody sold it and they just wanted to get rid of it. And so they sold it for $5, but it's worth $500. You have,
that's a
you
dream.
Have a spread, right? Well, sometimes that happens. Sometimes people sell a rare and they don't realize it's a rare. And so
that usually happens a lot at reveals too, like especially at reveals, but that's another topic.
Right. So you have a spread of like $495. So you can like buy it low and then sell it at a higher price.
Exactly. And even if you get like $300 for it, you're still making that $250 profit. You don't have to sell it for its maximum value. You can still make money on it and get it off quicker. Like there's always options when you're playing the spread and you're playing the quote unquote rarity of an asset. It's like you're going and you're buying let's put an example. You're shopping for, let's say,
we could do houses. Too.
Houses, okay. Cool. Yeah. Houses is easy.
Right.
You go and you're shopping. Okay. No, I'll let you go. This is your topic. I'm cutting in.
Well, if you're selling, so like if you're buying a house that needs to be a fixer upper and it has, you know, it's in a great location, it's a great area, it's a normally would have been a beautiful house, but they have to sell it because they need to move, right? So they'll sell it at a discount, or they are selling it because they don't want to put new carpet in or new paint in, but carpet and paint doesn't cost that much money. And that's all that you need is cosmetics. You need something to make it look pretty again. And it doesn't have any major structural or major damage or anything wrong with the house, but it's just cosmetics, right? It's just what it needs to look. So you buy it at a discount. So say it's $1 million house and you buy it at a discount for $800,000. And then you invest paint and carpet will cost you like 10 grand. So now you've invested $810,000, but you have a spread of $190,000 profit because the market's demanding that it's worth $1 million. You bought it for $800, you stick $10,000 into it, and now you have a spread of $190,000. So that's where the difference is. You're making money on the flip, you're making money on the arbitrage, you're making money on the spread. It's the same thing with NFTs. So you're able to apply this with like anything that you do on business, on investments, on housing, on gold, on jewelry, on wholesale and retail and NFTs and tokens. If you buy it at a discount and then there's a spread value where you can sell it at a higher price and there's a demand on it where a lot of people want it and there's a low supply, it's going to make the value go up. So NFTs, you buy the rare one, and so you got the rare one at a lower price, and now you can sell it at a higher price because there's a big demand for it, and you got it at a discount, but there's not that many, so a low supply, so the value goes up.
See, this is why I don't take your spotlight.
Wait,
because when you explain things, you keep it super clear and concise, and I absolutely love it. It's a logical brain; it has to be. and you know what, and I don't know why this keeps coming up in my head, but it's always the example you gave at the beginning, like when we first started the LA talk, it was the grass, and something stuck with me with the grass.
Okay,
the prices, selling an NFT and NFTs, and I don't know, I've kind of drawn a relationship to it at this point just because it stuck with me.
Okay.
If there's a house and it's got beautiful grass, beautiful green grass, always trimmed, the edges look nice, you're instantly good. It's appealing and you like it, you love it. But if it's like overgrown, there's weeds and you can't really see too much, you're not gonna like that, right? Mm-hmm. You're always gonna go for the one that looks best, but you want to go for the one that looks best at the highest for the cheapest price.
Right.
But at the same time, If there's somebody that says, you know what, I think I can work with that overgrown grass and make it something beautiful. There's that ability in Web3, right? In crypto, especially with assets, you can take the value of an asset if you buy it and you can create value for it.
Right.
You obviously you can't change what it looks like, but you can create value on top of it that may make people want it more.
Right. by creating a buzz and talking about it. And...
Exactly. And that ties back to the callers and the communication and the education in this space and how it's been lacking, and how bringing it back would really cause pandemonium. In other words, in a good pandemonium, where everyone would be excited again. It'd bring the excitement back and the fun again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's missing in Web3 right now. The fun is missing in Web3 again. It's a lot of rumors and things going on, but let's have fun again. Let's trade and make money and have volume come back into the market and get excited and look at beautiful pieces of art and find arbitrage and spread. And whenever there's a dip in the market is the best time to buy. So right now we had a dip and a pullback on ETH, which means everything's at a discount. Because if you're taking USD or you're taking whatever your currency is and converting it into ETH, you're getting it at a discount right now. And so when you go to buy an asset, you go to buy a token or you go to buy an NFT for an asset for future value, when ETH goes back up, all the asset value is going to go up. When ETH goes back up, people aren't getting rid of stuff quickly. It's a fire sale right now. Things are cheap. When ETH goes back up, the supply goes down and the value goes up because people don't want to sell because now their value is going up. So if you're getting it at a discount right now because ETH had a pullback, people are selling off thinking that they're losing money when they're just panic selling and they're getting emotion into play instead of being logical and waiting it out, waiting for the bounce. You can get some smoking deals. Like most millionaires and billionaires, the way that they made their money is whenever there was a pullback in any type of a market, in housing market, in stocks, bonds, futures, when there was in T-bonds, whenever there was a pullback in the market and people panic sold, they bought into the market and then were able to ride that on their profit. And that's how they made their money.
Always playing the emotions, right? Never getting emotional. And that I think we talked about that. Was it the week before last week? And I think it comes back into everything. It's emotions, right? It's emotions. Yeah. It's how you treat everything that happens. It's and a lot of it comes back to the education. So each week we're teaching you something on top of it. So if you haven't tuned into the week before, definitely do that. Listen to all of our episodes because we keep building. And if you don't go back and you don't listen, you're not going to really, it's going to be hard to understand what we're talking about sometimes. So going back, we're a little advanced and we get ahead of ourselves, and guilty as charged. We have a lot of fun and we're very in deep in crypto and Web3, but we're also in tune with our Web2 side. So we're able to understand where you guys are coming from, but we also want to make sure that you guys stay in tune and you guys can get in tune a lot easier. So just making sure that you guys go back and listen to the other episodes, just to understand what's going on, and that'll help you keep in mind and really just understand what we're talking about, because a lot of the stuff is just building.
Yeah, but the other thing too is you have to understand is we always go through cycles. There's financial cycles. There's cycles in the stock market. There's cycles in the crypto market. There's cycles. So there's where it goes up and it goes down and it comes back up again. And historically, everything always bounces back. So as long as you see that it's a cycle and what it's going through, you can take advantage of it. And when things bottom, you get in at a discounted price. And then when they go back up and the demand is back up and then the value goes back up, you got the discount and you made that big spread. So watch it. Like if you're doing it and this is your first time, watch what's going on. Just peek in, see what's going on to OpenSea or going to Blur, go on to Dex Tools, Uniswap, go look at the different links, find out the information, watch some YouTube videos and get information, and then take whatever knowledge you have in the real world and apply it to anything that you do in financial. And then when you learn on how to do things on the financial world, you can apply it also to the real world, right? Because it's the spread, the arbitrage, the discount, the full price, the retail applies everywhere. Things always pan out and play out in the real world too. So this was a very intense one.
Very, go watch very the space intense.
Launch. Go have some fun and watch the space launch tonight. Hopefully we launch tonight. Going to NASA, SpaceX, going to YouTube, watch the space launch tonight. And then check out all the different websites, Paper Trade, and have fun. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.